Yes, ladies and gentlemen, yes, welcome once again to another Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, the living legend himself, the nighttime living legend himself, Mr. Joey Franchise. How you doing, sir?
What's going on? I'm good.
What's going on,
chilling.
Man? Good. Are you hype? Are you hype for all these trailers that just dropped?
I mean, last night, yeah, definitely got me hype. that WandaVision, man, and that Mandalorian that couple days before that.
Yep. And as we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, they just dropped the WandaVision trailer. They also dropped, when we finished our show Monday, I think they dropped the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer as well. So we're going to run it, man. Let's get it on here, get it on the show, let's talk about it. Live reactions. I think we'll run. I think we're going to run the Mandalorian one first. Let me switch you on here. But you got to sit down and actually see it before we actually talk about it right now. So what's your take, man? How you feel about it? Are you hype?
It looks good, man. Yeah. I mean, everything about it was awesome. You got a taste in a sense for how the season is going to play out.
Right.
You know, it's going to be some drama. There's going to be a lot of things popping off, which I'm really excited about and look forward to watching when this thing drops, man, for real.
Yeah,
October.
Man. Yeah.
What is it, October, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, it's weeks away.
Yeah, so let's do it, man. Let's do it. Hold on, let me switch here. And that's not what I wanted. Properties. It's a live show, ladies and gentlemen. We are live, okay?
That's how we do.
All kinds of crazy things are happening all the time.
Anything goes when it's live.
That's right. Anything goes when it's live, including my mistakes. Yeah, especially my mistakes. So, let's see. I wanted to get the Mandalorian here. There we go. Perfect.
It's epic watching Speedy concentrate.
Yes. All right, let's run it. Got all kinds of videos here coming. Let's go. Mandalorian Season 2 trailer, ladies and gentlemen. I like the beginning of it. I like this, like, you know, like, trying to, like, guess what planet he's going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going? You know what I'm saying? I dig it. I dig it. I dig it a lot.
Show me the one safety deemed such destruction. You must reunite it with its own kind.
It's so lit the way that Baby Yoda floats with him.
I just like this like traveling. You know what I'm saying?
Tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi.
That's dope that they're bringing the Jedis into this.
Yeah. See, that doesn't look like Ahsoka Tano. You know what I'm saying? She's missing the face paint and all that good stuff.
This is the way.
You know? So it looks like somebody else. Maybe a different character? I don't know. You know? So it doesn't look like, what's her name there? Rosario Dawson. You know what I'm saying? I like the X-Wing thing here. Got a little bit of everything here.
You know this is no place for a child.
Some Empire stuff going on.
Wherever I go, he goes. So I've heard.
This is fire.
Yeah.
That was so hard the way he just bodied everybody in this way.
I love it. I love it, man. That's great. Let's see here before commercials come out here. Oh no, we don't want to do that. I'm excited, man. I'm really excited, and I hope it meets up to all of our expectations. That's all. That's really all I got to say about it. You know what I mean? I mean,
I wonder if we're gonna get some lightsaber action when they mention in Jedi's gonna be in this season.
Hopefully. And if I think that's Mr. Tarek Lewis jumping in here already, I think I'm gonna add him to the show. Tarek, what's up?
What's up, fam?
What's going on?
Here.
We live. I know you saw it already, so I don't have to run it back. The Mandalorian season 2 trailer.
Tarek was just updating his OnlyFans account. So,
you know, yeah. You know,
keep that content coming, baby.
Yeah, you got to keep it long when you're on there.
Mandalorian season 2 trailer. First reaction.
I don't like all the Baby Yoda in it.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be less Baby Yoda and more like more of the fringe characters that we don't care about. No, I thought it was dope.
Are you hype?
I am hype about it.
Are you think that the Star Wars franchise is ready to redeem themselves from the sequel debacle that's happening? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they have to redeem themselves. You know, mm-hmm. I just think, you know, I always considered what they did on television as separate from what they did on film.
Right.
So I don't think they need to redeem themselves. I think the Mandalorian season 1 was so good.
Right.
I think they're just continuing the excitement, and it looks really good. And they could easily play out. They could easily be played out. Like, the whole Baby Yoda thing could easily be played out. And it looks like they're not playing it out. They're just like, all right, just the logical progression from where it was before.
Right.
So it looks dope.
I'm excited, man. I just like the new direction that Star Wars is getting in. It's just making the I mean, it's universe, right? You know, it's multiple planets. It's a big universe. So, yet they can travel it. You know, it takes time for them to travel in light speed. You know what I mean? So So it's not, the things are not as close and you know, I like the like the Jedi is kind of like, oh yeah, like people heard stories about Luke Skywalker and stuff like that, but like the Jedi is like a lost, you know, like. It's kind of like, you know, like the Eagles, you know what I mean? Like, they were a great franchise, and now they're not, you know?
I don't know. That's weird, because I feel like they won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
But that's what I mean. See, you know, like, you know, they were heroes of the old Republic, and now they're gone, you know?
Okay.
I just like that promise, that premise, should I say. You know, it's kind of like it's an old myth. The Jedi was an old myth. Oh yeah, there was an old Clone Wars back in the day, and none of us are a lot of us are not old enough to even remember that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to argue with you on your show, but
go ahead.
That is the premise. It's that is our the show. Entire premise of the whole, you know, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've obligated themselves to that for a long time.
Oh yeah, to, like, you know, Return of the Jedi, or yeah, should I say?
Yeah, you know, A New Hope is like the first comeback of the Jedi. You know, right. Han refers to it as an old religion. But somebody from the Empire refers to it as like an old religion.
Even if, you know, in that beginning the monologue that what's the word I'm looking for is the other Mandalorian is telling Pedro Pascal's character, you know, it was an old old magicians called Jedi, you know, you must seek them out, you know, so like, I mean, it's not a, you know, people are not like, oh, Jedi's are back, you know what I mean? It's not, hasn't traveled to the galaxy yet, you know what I mean? It's that,
right,
you know, that hype is not there, you know, or that excitement for, you know, for the return of the Jedi Order is not yet, or Luke hasn't got working yet, you know what I'm saying? He's still trying to, you know, probably relax or build up, you know, his school and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
He's trying to relax. Luke was on
vacation trying to find
himself. After the destruction of each Death Star, I take 2 weeks to
myself.
He's
at Disney World.
it's like LeBron going to Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
Winning a championship.
Yeah. What do you think, Terry?
But I think it looks good.
Yeah, I think it looks good, too. I like it. What about you, Jerry? Hype?
I'm a hype. I mean, what I loved about the first one is it just never really got stale, and it was like kind of like almost like a chase as he's like running around the universe to kind of protect, you know, the Baby Yoda.
Right.
And I like how they're exploring worlds,
right?
Different, you know, planets in this universe. Also, you know, it's kind of cool for me that they're kind of straying away so much from like the Force, and the Force is not really like the main focus.
Right.
Lightsabers aren't involved like that.
Yeah.
And it's cool. We get a little bit more hand to hand combat between guys, you know, actual, you know, fighting going on. some good battles. So it's just good, and I think they hit it out. Disney is hitting it out the park, and you know, Lucasfilm is hitting it out the park with Mandalorian. And I'm glad that it has the hype, you know, that it actually deserves, especially after the first one.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get into something that dropped recently. WandaVision. We finally got a trailer for something new.
Finally,
in the MCU. Are you excited, Tarek Lewis? Did you see it already? We're gonna play it right now.
I saw the WandaVision trailer, yeah. And I am pleasantly surprised.
All right. Let's run it for everyone who hasn't watched it yet, and we'll do some live reaction about it right now.
And put that full screen on too.
Yeah, it's that full screen here. Hold on. Let's do that now before I mess up everything, which is known to happen. All right, let's go. I mean, I like the look, the little retro look, you know? It's kind of like, what are we watching?
Yeah, definitely sets the tone.
Yeah.
Wonder and Vision, aren't we a five pair?
This is our home now. I want us to fit in.
Oh, this is going to be a gas.
Where did you two move from? How long have you been married, and why don't you have children yet?
Our story.
I think what my wife means to say is that we moved from...
Moved from where? Married when? Damn it, why?
Oh, Arthur, stop it. Stop
it. I like it. Like stop it's it. Not working. Stop like, it. Why?
I love it. Yeah. It's a glitch.
It's like a glitch. And then they, like, show... It's,
this is really happening.
I get some, like, Watchmen vibes, kind of. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Some Watchmen vibes, some...
This was sick right here.
No.
Who is that character?
Because you are.
That's a random... Or she was in a movie before?
No, she's in a bunch of movies.
Okay. No, I mean, no, that particular character, but she wasn't in anything else prior?
No.
We are an unusual couple, you know?
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
I only got one thing to say. I think it's cool. I think... They're going to break some new ground with the show. I have a good feeling about that. Marvel is really good, you know, at putting... They've had a long time to put it together, and I'm expecting good things. But I think the casual fan is going to be like, what is this? You know what I mean? I think their original plan was probably like, okay, we're going to come out with Falcon Winter Soldier, then we're going to come out with this, then we're going to come out with that. You know, it's like that. I don't think they're going to get much of the typical... superhero, supervillain, fighty-fighty that keeps the casuals interested. You know what I mean? What do you say, Tarek? Too much story?
His
yeah,
volume
your
is
audio,
off.
Your mic is off, I think, or something. I don't know, something happened. We cannot hear you. Yeah.
I muted myself, so I wouldn't be talking. Yeah, here we go.
Okay, cool.
I don't think it was ever intended for the casual fan.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Like, the casual fan was never going to watch WandaVision.
So okay, wait. So pause before you continue. So the things that happen in WandaVision are going to affect the Marvel movie universe going forward. So do you think a casual fan will miss out? Will be like, I don't understand what the hell's happening. Oh, I need to have watched WandaVision. Ugh, you know what I mean?
No, I don't think WandaVision is going to affect the Marvel universe like people think it is. Mm. It's clearly going to be a fantasy. It may affect Doctor Strange. But I don't think it's going to affect even the uniform, like in the trailer, she's wearing her classic comic book uniform. And so is Vision at some point.
Yeah.
Which tells me that, like, we're honoring the comic book fans. Like, we never show her in that uniform in the movies. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to.
Right.
We're going to show her in those uniforms in WandaVision. I think even her reality, even her abilities are saying, like, hey, this is not about what she does in the movies. Mm-hmm. This is about what she's going to be doing now. And you know, Vision is dead. And, you know, so it's, I don't think it's going to really, really be meant for, hey, I'm a casual fan. If you're paying for Disney Plus and you're starting to watch Marvel television shows, you're no longer the casual fan.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think the casual fan is watching, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Definitely. I mean, it's a deep dive. You're deep diving. If you're going to invest into a TV show that's about the same lore, you're definitely deep diving into the universe, right?
Yeah.
kind of like reading. What do you think? What do you say, Joey?
I think Tarek's on the right path with what he said, and I think that they're going to really stem and do some real comic book fan service with WandaVision, because I think her story in this show is going to come from the House of M comics,
right?
Because you gotta say she's gonna have the twins, mm-hmm. Wiccan and Speed, in it as the show goes on. And I think she is the villain. Like, you think that there's a I think she becomes a villain, in my opinion. So I think the girl you saw is gonna be Abigail, mm-hmm. the witch.
Right.
I forgot Abigail something, but she's kind of walking with Wanda through all these little
right.
episodes that she goes through, where, you know, from the 50s to, 90s sitcoms. She tells Vision, you know, he's dead. So I think she's like kind of toying with them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wanda is going to flip shit. And, you know, I think she goes bad, which leads us into Multiverse of Madness.
Right. Which I think is going to be great. I think it's going to be an awesome movie. I think it's going to set up a lot of stuff going forward for the MCU. And, I mean, I'm hyped, man. I really enjoy it. It's going to be like a deep dive, you know, into the psyche of Scarlet Witch and also even Vision, too, as well. Because, you know, technically he's going to come back to life, you know. Or at least his essence is alive.
In her reality. You
know, in her reality.
Yeah, in her reality, or, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, the great thing about Marvel is that they never call her the Scarlet Witch.
Right. Right.
She's never the Scarlet Witch. You know, that's not her code name.
Right.
On in the movies.
Right.
That's what we're assuming.
Right.
Based off the comic book. I don't even know. They might call him Vision. I think she calls him Viz. They might call him Vision, you know, as a nickname, but it's not like, oh, that's Vision, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I completely understand. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's going to be, you know, I mean, you know, we get to consume some MCU product finally again, you know.
And so, to elaborate more on me thinking that she's like going to turn into this bad person, mm-hmm. Later on in the show, is because you see Monica Rambeau makes a little appearance in there,
yeah,
and it looks like, and you know, she's part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or uh-huh. S.W.O.R.D.
But see, we know that, and you know, and anybody watching the show now knows, you know, that's a little Monica Rambeau little drop probably, and we're assuming that too, just because we're fans and we know the comic books a little bit, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
You know, where's the connection? You know what I mean? So, you know, we don't know that yet. We got to watch the show. So it's setting up something for us, you know. It was like a little Easter egg for us, a little trailer in there, you know? You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, she's legit working for S.W.O.R.D., and I think S.W.O.R.D. is infiltrating Wanda's reality. They're finding ways to infiltrate into that world, because you see how, like, she's, like, being thrown out of, like, what looks like a 70s, you know, retro look, and then she falls into, like, a field in present day.
Right. Yeah.
So it looks like they're really, like, trying to infiltrate the situation, and Wanda's just, like, booting them out.
I think it's interesting. They're kind of setting up Wanda as kind of like a threat, like she's kind of like a Hulk threat, you know, like out of control threat. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? What do you say, Tarek? Like they have to respond to her, you know, going out of control. You know?
Yeah. Now that looks like what the situation is. It looks almost like she's created a bubble, like the NBA, where somehow the Heat are really good.
And the Nuggets are out here.
the Nuggets are hanging on by dear life.
And the Western Conference Finals, you're like, how did this happen? You know, she's creating this weird reality, and that's the equivalent of Vision being dead.
I agree 100%. I'm excited, man. More MCU stuff for us to consume. Hopefully, when was the date? I didn't even pay attention to the date. Somebody, please enlighten me.
I think it's going to be in December.
December. Okay, cool.
From what I heard, it's December.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. Going back to 2020, what you're saying. December? Wow. That's a long time to wait. We'll definitely get into Mandalorian before that. But
it's only going to be six episodes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so apparently there was a vicious rumor going that Pedro Pascal apparently walked off set pissed because he wanted more FaceTime on his show. The insider, our famous insider who likes to give us our scoops, Mr. Mikey Sutton, actually chimed in on that. And he said the rumors of Pedro Pascal walking off the Mandalorian set in a huff halfway through the filming of Season 2 circulated globally last week. According to the gossip, Pascal became upset when he was told he couldn't remove his helmet during certain scenes. The rumors then escalated into clickbait speculation that Pascal would either leave or be booted off the show. Sources close to the matter firmly deny both reports. This is another example of how people are trying to damage the Star Wars brand for a personal beef or profit from it on social media. So he says it's fake news, and that Pascal knew what he was signed on for. Why would he argue about something like that? Go ahead and chime in.
He knew what he was getting into, because obviously, you know, the code is, you know, for any Mandalorian is not to take off their helmet, but which is good for him, because most of the time he probably ain't even got to be on set. He just have a stunt double doing all the things.
Yeah,
all he needs is his voice,
right?
And you're getting a check just to have your voice.
I just put up the report, so anybody who wants to go to geekocitymag.com can read it for themselves. What do you say, Tarek? I mean, you know, is this, you know, when you have a star power, you can try and negotiate in the middle of working?
No.
You know what I mean? That doesn't happen, right?
This is an example of people who are not in the industry perceiving something.
Right.
Like, if you walked off your job and were mad about something, they'd be like, oh my God, he's quitting, he's leaving, you know? He'd be like, yo, no, I just left. I was mad. I was pissed off. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't wear masks for COVID.
Yeah.
People are like, I'm not wearing the mask for COVID. He's in that mask all day for probably 12 hours a day. And it's like, yo, I want to take this shit off.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? In this scene, can I take this fucking mask off? And they're probably like, no, you know, we need you in the mask. Like, the mask is iconic. He got mad and walked off. Like, all right, well, I'm just going to take a break.
I mean,
that's what I feel happened. So, and I think people took that and were like, oh, he must be. It's like everything you do is exacerbated when you're a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching the behind the scenes Mandalorian series that's on Disney Plus. That shows you how they make it. And I mean, 90% of the show is him doing voiceover work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so if there was a point where, you know, he wants to be out of the, not in suit, he could just get in front of the microphone and tell him, hey, the stand-in, come do the scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not that easy. No? See, that's like, people think that.
I don't know. You don't
need to be there. I know.
I don't know. That's, you know, that's why I bring it up. You know, Tarek, you have experience on movie sets. So, enlighten us.
He probably needs to be there sometimes. He's probably in the suit sometimes. Mm. You know, for stunts and stuff, yeah, he's probably not doing the stunts. But I guarantee, I feel like he's probably in the suit sometimes. Mm. And, you know, he may say, hey, this is a... But if he's getting paid his regular fee,
right,
I don't see why he would complain about doing voiceover.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it's just an exaggeration. Someone saw something. Well, if he was in a suit 90% of the time, how could he then take the mask off and walk off the set?
Yeah.
So if that's the perception that, oh, he's 90% doing voiceover, well, how could he walk off the set? If that's like, you know, why would it be an issue? It wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't come up. So he's clearly there. He's clearly in the suit. He's clearly in the mask. And I think someone saw him walk off and was like, oh, you know, and it's like, I have a story. The people like to feel important.
it's true. But getting back to keep on, because there's more insider info that Mikey Sutton dropped on his website. I invite you guys to go read it, and I'm actually going to share it with you guys right now. Mandalorian theatrical film in Rebels and with Rebels heroes and Thrawn, Grand Admiral Thrawn, in discussions. If you guys ever read, I don't know if you ever read those novels. There were the Expanded Universe novels that they introduced that Grand Admiral Thrawn character.
I did some of them.
Like, supposed to be a sequel. Supposed to be the real sequel to the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
And it was a good read. Like I read those novels. It was a good read. I don't know, Joey, you ever checked those out?
I've never dove into the Star Wars reading. It's a deep dive.
You know, some people do, and that character happens to survive. He was included in after they said, okay, all the extended universe stuff is not canon. And they said, okay, we're going to restart, you know, make our own, you know, canon universe. They kept that character, but they included him in the Rebels cartoon, is where they included him in actual official canon. So, let's read the article really quick. Given the polarized receptions to The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, Disney has been looking for a game winner in the Star Wars sweepstakes. They found one in the Mandalorian TV series for Disney Plus, which immediately detonated to widespread fan adulation with the debut of Baby Yoda. The child, should I say. The Mandalorian reeled in young viewers in ways the new trilogy did not, and excited older viewers, alienated by the creative decisions of directors Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams. So it's no surprise that A Mandalorian theatrical movie is being discussed at Disney. Now, this will not be a replacement for TV. That's going to continue, but the House of Mouse sees opportunity for this to expand, tell a story on the big screen. According to a source of his, the film will include characters included on the Rebels animated show, and the big bad is going to be Grand Admiral Thrawn, which he also leaked. He leaked that they were trying to include and do a live action Grand Admiral Thrawn. So he's you know, putting two and two together of the info that he's been getting. What do you say, guys? Are we excited to see the Rebel characters finally in live action, or no. it's just too much?
No one gives a shit.
But I mean, they're trying to do like a big gang bang of Star Wars characters that never been in a movie.
No one cares. It's over. They got to stop.
But what if it's good, Tarek? What if it's good?
It could be. It could be good. I wanted to see Grand Admiral Thrawn in the sequels, you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Grand Admiral Thrawn in, you know, The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker. Right. They decided to go in another direction, and like, we're going to just do a spinoff of the spinoff that was originally done that everyone liked. Okay. But yeah. it's I think that they're bleeding that Star Wars thing way too much. Like, we don't want to see the Empire anymore. I think that most fans are like, okay, show us something different. Like, we like the Mandalorian because it's way off of like the world. It's in the world, but it's not about the Empire and the Rebellion.
Right,
and we don't want to see that. Like, you know,
what if it's a good director and you know, like Jon Favreau or someone like that, and they
they're not going to do that. It's not what they're going to do.
Or you don't think they'll be successful? Is that what you're
I don't think they're trying. I think they're like, how can we get more money out of Star Wars because it's so popular? And you know, you're talking about doing a live act, like no.
But I always follow the Star Wars TV show that's always on Facebook. You know, they always have that Facebook page. They always have like a little show where they always show what's happening new Star Wars stuff, toys, video games, comic books, and whatever. You know, everything that's happening, even shows and stuff like that. It pops up in my feed sometimes. Sometimes I'll share it on the on the Geek Culture Congress page. But yeah. I mean, it's always seemed. You know, I mean, it's a franchise. It's one of Disney's franchises. They market it. You know, and to the fans and. You know, they try and make money off it. I mean, they spent millions of dollars to get it, you know?
Yeah, and they ruined it.
I mean, well, you know, they have the Mandalorian. They're trying to, you know, to keep riding the cash cow.
Roll with that direction. It's too late. Like, if you throw Thrawn into the Mandalorian, okay. But, like, continuing this, like, oh, this is other Empire out there. That's not gonna... I think fans are... I'm not speaking for fans. I'm speaking for me. They're like, all right, you've ruined it. You've brought back the Emperor and had another Empire and two other Empires, and I'm done on that. Give me smaller microcosm stories. What else is going on in the galaxy?
Do you think people are checking out?
I think people are checking out on that grand, that large scale Star Wars universe. I think people are more into the, well, okay, what's going on individually.
Interesting.
Different characters, yeah.
What about you, Joey? You're a prequel kind of guy. So what do you say?
Yeah. I like everything Tarek said. The Mandalorian works so well because it's within the universe and kind of tied into a lot of things. But it's its own thing, and it doesn't, you know, need to try extra hard to be a good quality.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Show. I mean, with the Rebel stuff, I think it's just kind of doing too much. I think Disney, after how bad The Last Jedi, the last Star Wars movie was, I think Disney needs to really cut back a little bit and figure out what works. Because obviously, that last trilogy was basically the original Star Wars movie, just with new characters. Like, Finn was kind of the Han Solo-y guy. Rey was Luke Skywalker. You know, everything. And Kylo Ren was Darth Vader all over again. Like, it was a mirror image of the original trilogy. It didn't work. It was cool that it came back.
Right.
You know, it got fans re-energized. It did good when the first movie came out. But it was, it's like, you know, they literally recycled. Like, what did Soulja Boy say about Drake? He's like, that man took my whole fucking flow, man. Literally, it was a mirror image of the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah, it was.
And at the end, it was bad. Yeah. You know, it fizzled. Fans hated it.
It was damage control, definitely. And
so now we have something that works. Right. Mandalorian works. What else can work? What kind of good stories can we build with that doesn't involve maybe something that's remotely close to what failed just about a year ago?
Well, what is Star Wars without the Jedi? You know what I mean? Or the Jedi story?
Well, you can have the Jedi, but don't do the same thing. Like, I would be okay with a rogue Jedi or a Jedi. Like, yo, they just did the same thing. You know, they brought back the Emperor. It was like, yo, what is this? This is dumb. Like, you know,
I mean, I liked it. I liked the bringing it back. I just think it was executed very bad. We all agree it was executed very badly. The whole trilogy. I also agree with the actor who played Finn that his character was shafted because I was so hype. That final battle where Finn picked up the lightsaber and he was actually hanging in the battle with
Kylo.
With Kylo, yeah. I mean, I was hyped for his character. Like, I want to see his character progress through these movies. You know what I mean? And that's cool. Yeah, okay, cool. The you know, Rey is, you know, supercharged with some Jedi powers, and you know, she beat him up. Cool, that's dope. You know, she's gonna have a
super
cool backstory too.
Like, the whole trilogy.
But I wanted to see him progress. You know, like, he showed something there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we know. Stormtroopers can't shoot nobody to save their freaking life. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, when you're going to pick up a lightsaber and hang in a fight, you know, decently with, you know, the new Dark Lord of the Sith, technically. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because he was at that time, you know, debatable, but still, he lost, you know, he took the L, but we're talking about a battle for like, what is it, a good 15 minutes? A screen time?
You know? I mean, it probably wasn't that long, but like, they didn't do anything with them. Do a Knights of Ren show.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's another
Knights of, like,
that was another promise that they didn't. Yeah,
you didn't. There's other things too. Like, if you're gonna, don't try to duplicate the Mandalorian. Like, the Mandalorian is his own thing.
Right.
So what happens in studios? They say, oh, that worked. Let's do the same thing, but they change this one thing. But do the same exact story. Like, no.
You think that's a corporate way of looking at things, you know?
Yeah. Like
corporate America? Like, oh, yeah, we're selling Coca-Cola. Let's make more Coca-Cola.
Vanilla Coke.
Vanilla Coke is selling well. Make more of it.
We don't,
let's make cherry. Let's make strawberry.
No, we don't want vanilla Coke. We go to cheap sodas for that. We get RC Cola for that.
I want to talk about more scoops that Mikey Sutton dropped on his website because it was a lot. He let them go. He let all the he's got his own outlet, and I invite everyone to go check it out. Geekocitymag.com. It's always great stuff, great reads. MCU wants Catherine Winnick for Enchantress role or more. She is, I think she was in, what's the that show that was on History with the Vikings? There you go. I think she was on Vikings.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Enchantress for DC?
No, for MCU. I'm sorry, did I say DC?
Oh, MCU. No, okay, MCU. Yeah. No, you didn't say it. I just didn't know which Enchantress you were talking about.
No, yeah, the Enchantress for MCU. Catherine Winnick of Vikings fame has been the focus of fan casting among MCU fans for years now. When Captain Marvel was officially announced, she was online favorite to land a role. Winnick's public affection for comic books ignited interest even further. However, she is still without a Marvel Studios role. That may change. She is being eyed for that. She may also possibly play the Angela role, a lost sister of Thor in Marvel Comics. Which I remember Angela was a character I was introduced in the Spawn comic books, and then the creator that actually created that character sued Todd McFarlane, and then he started working for Marvel, and he just decided to introduce his character in Marvel. So now Angela's part of the Marvel universe now. Just a quick bio on that. But you know, but to confirm, you know, they're working on it. What do you think about that actress? Did you see her work in Vikings?
I've never seen her work.
No?
I've seen her in Vikings. She was very good.
Yeah. It's a very intense role.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see that working. I mean, I think if Enchantress is not like as a warrior battle type, from watching her in Vikings, she can do the fighting.
Yeah.
She can do the fight scenes. So I almost feel like it's almost kind of wasted.
Yeah.
To make her just a magician, you know, a magician or whatever. But I definitely could see her pulling it off. I mean, she's already in Vikings, so she definitely can pull off the Norse look.
Right. I got more bad news to you. Bad news for Tarek about the Flash movie. He's not gonna like.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's the Grant Gustin Smallville veterans might cameo in Flash film. So apparently, the DCU Flash is gonna really fuck up the whole DC universe, and all these characters are gonna get little cameos. What do you feel? You feel that let's go with Joey, because Joey is more invested in DC than anybody else. What do you say, man? Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of the CW either.
Nah, I always thought they should just leave it alone. I mean, the show's, you know, I mean, they do well. I mean, I don't watch them, but I know that there's a fan base for it. There's a fan base for it.
Yeah, there's a fan base for it.
Obviously, I mean, Speedy's all in.
I'm okay. I kind of got off. When Arrow died, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's the fact that they got to integrate him in the TV series. I mean, it gives a nod to Grant Gustin because, you know, he really wanted the role when the movie was actually being talked about when Justice League was being made.
Right.
I mean, a little tip of the cap to him, I guess. I don't know. I guess they're just trying to, you know, do right some way, somehow, and the Flash TV show does better than the Justice League movie.
They're even like, saying that Tom Welling might be in there, too.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, too. I mean, they could do, at this point, DC just needs to start, you know, just shoot their shot.
Throw it all out there, why not, right? Yeah. What they got to lose,
come
right?
Come up with a good story, you know, hopefully, but just shoot your shot. See what works, you know what I mean? Do you feel like that's going to do some
fan
service?
And the CW, they introduced Ezra Miller's Flash. You know, he had a little cameo on the Flash show.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's what got a lot of people hyped, and because there was a lot of hype and talk about it amongst, you know, fans and the blogs, you know, I was like, oh, wow, they, you know, we really sparked people's interest with this. Let's try to integrate it in the movie now.
So I know how you feel, Tarek, but go ahead. Let him have it.
I mean, what? Okay.
Let him have it. Is this you don't care anymore? Just let them hang themselves? Listen,
just give me the Snyder Cut.
Okay.
And I just need to see that.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Right. I'm basing everything from here on out DC after Snyder Cut. As far as DC Universe. Wonder Woman's good with me.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
Wonder Woman's going to be good. It's going to be fine. But anything like DCEU related, I will not judge anything until I see Snyderverse.
Yeah. Just give me the Snyder Cut. And then I'm with Joey. I will judge everything off of that.
Well, apparently...
I did these universes. I didn't get to catch the Infinite Universes stuff.
It's a lot.
Arrow lost me probably about season 4. Flash lost me like season 3. You know, it's going to be hard to get me back.
Fair enough.
But I'm here for the Snyder Cut. I'm here for Wonder Woman. And everything is based off of that. I don't think the dude who plays, I think Grant Gustin, I think he plays a good Flash.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he plays a good Flash. But the fact that he's Flash and Ezra Miller's Flash, like, is crazy. And, you know, they have the multiple universes. Listen, Snyder Cut and a good Green Lantern show or movie, I'm back in. If the Batman is good, I'm back in. I'm cool with Henry Cavill. If they change Superman, I'm going to be a little upset.
Well, I got good news for you. He signed on for as I know 6 or 7 more movies as Superman, something like that.
Okay,
three standalones and 3 DCEU related films. So he's going to make appearances in other.
Yeah, so
that's going down. I've been hearing he's going to make appearances in Shazam.
Yeah, yeah, that's happening apparently.
Yeah,
so I guess he's also trying to be 007 as well, the next James Bond, and apparently Tom Hardy has quite possibly beat him out for that role. How you feel? I don't know you guys are into James Bond stuff too much, but...
Well, I thought that they were going to go with the African-American.
Idris Elba. I think he was in the running too as well. And I would have liked that. I like him a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not Idris Elba. What'd you say?
Yeah. Or it was... I think it's the one of the... I think it was Edris Alba because he's in.
No, there's a woman. There's also
a woman. Oh, girl, yeah. I think she's already in the movie. The next movie.
She's going to be in the movie. Yeah. And everyone thought she was going to be the Bond.
Right.
But Tom Hardy as James Bond. At least Tom Hardy can do everything. I've seen him on Peaky Blinders and he's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he single handedly saved the Venom movie. So.
Yeah.
Single handedly. There was nothing OD like amazing about the Venom movie.
Tom
Hardy made it great.
Tom Hardy made it great.
That one scene that he's going crazy in the restaurant that he jumps into the fish tank.
That
made the whole movie. That saved the whole movie right there.
Tom Hardy did legitimately make that movie good. I could see him. I could see him doing it. You know, it'll be a different type of Bond. It's gonna be more like a Vin Diesel Bond than a Pierce Brosnan mind, which I think would be cool.
We have that. It's called Fast and the Furious.
No.
Yo, I heard they're going to space in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it's
going to
get wild and stupid.
So
they're finally... That was a joke I made on the radio one time. I'm like, look, if they're doing another Fast and Furious, they're not going to impress me unless they go up in space. And they're not going up in space.
It's going to
get... Touché. They were like, touché, Joey.
Yep.
We got you.
That's it.
We're going to hold you down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with Tom. I like Tom Hardy. I've never seen a Tom Hardy film and been like Tom Hardy was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I think Tom Hardy can't shit the bed on this. I mean, I don't think he shits the bed in any movie except for the Capone movie, I guess, that got really bad reviews.
I watched that movie.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I watched it over the weekend.
It was bad?
Is it good?
No, it was not. It was not good.
Okay. Talking about people who are not good, Loki. Jack Veal is going to be the kid version of Loki in the Loki Disney TV show. That's
the kid version.
Yeah, I guess they're going to flash back to his childhood days, I guess, in the Disney Plus show. Jack Veal. I don't know that actor. So that's why I kind of bring it up to see if you guys know.
Jack Veal. No, not familiar.
How do you spell that?
Veal, like I.E. Veal, you know, V-E-A-L.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know this kid.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure it's just like a scene or something like that. I guess the kid Loki, the kid version of Loki, was part of the Young Avengers at one time. So I don't know how far, you know, we're already talking about that. That's where they're a direction they're trying to go.
Seen this kid. I've seen the show. He was in the show The End of the Effing World.
Yeah.
And I did watch him in that. Yeah, he was pretty good.
I mean, it's okay. So
I'm not a fan of the Loki.
Yeah.
Spinoff.
No.
No. I feel like.
Well, there you go. Do you think that's going to be a departure to the casual fan? People like, oh, I'm going to watch this Loki show, and it's going to get all,
you know, this whole idea of the casual fan. I don't think there's a casual fan. There's a casual fan of Black Panther.
Okay.
Maybe Iron Man, but there's not a casual fan of Thor.
No.
There's not a casual fan of Loki. Like, there's no casual person who's like, you know what I want to see? Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah.
That's not a casual, you know, those aren't casual fans.
That's why they become TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Loki, like, it's just something to watch.
Right.
Yes.
And you're so knee-deep into this Marvel universe, cinematic universe, that you have to watch it now.
Right.
Even if it's trash.
Yeah.
Because you got to know what happened, right? You got to know what happened, yeah. or at least probably read the Cliff Notes, you know, or something.
I do not care that much about Loki whatsoever.
But you need to know what happened so you can consume
right
something else that you might be interested in.
And I think Marvel's doing right by Tom Hiddleston because he's a phenomenal actor.
Right.
I mean, you got to give him some shine. And he was actually trying to be Thor. Like, he auditioned for the role of Thor originally. And they thought he was better off. And Kenneth Branagh. He actually thought he'd be better as a Loki.
Yeah.
Gwendolyn Christie under consideration for MCU role. That's another rumor. Maybe she's going to play Queen Skrull. Quite possibly.
Gwendolyn Christie is from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Okay.
They got the money now, so. Right?
There's some role she could play, I'm sure.
So
another character wasted in the Star Wars.
Yes.
Films.
Yes. Absolutely. And she's very vocal about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star Wars. So much promise, you know?
Well, man, I really think that Marvel's in a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
DC has nothing but upside going on. Like, they can only go up. Right. Like, they're not going to go any lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Marvel's in a tough situation where they had Endgame. It was
they landed the biggest plane of their life.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now what are you going to do?
Right.
And they're like, Loki television show.
Yeah.
They need to start dropping little things. These little things will just tease us. I think Joey's right. Like, it's just appetizers.
Right.
It's like, yo, here are the chicken fingers. You know, here are the Southwestern egg rolls.
Yeah. I don't know if you just, I know we talked about this on Facebook, Tarek, but we got to talk about it on the show because it makes me laugh. And talk about appetizers. I don't know if anybody wants this as an appetizer, but masks to join G.I. Joe Transformers in live action film. And I know, Joey, do you know what Mask is? The cartoon.
Mask?
Yes.
No.
There you go. That's part of the argument right there. But Tarek, I will let you, because I know you know what Mask is. So, for the listening audience that may be the age of Joey or younger, please explain what Mask is in the best words possible.
I want to say that Mask is what they call an anagram. It stands for, is it motorcycles?
Yeah, motor.
Motor, air, sea.
Mobile, air, sea. I don't know. What does Mask stand for? What does
I got to look. What does Mask stand for?
Mask
stand
for? Four. Mobile Armored Strike Command with a K.
With a K.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
They don't need to do this.
I'm going to show everyone the article so they know that's for real.
They don't need to formally do it. Mm-hmm. It'll just be cool to be like, hey, these are some of the mask vehicles the G.I. Joe is using.
Yeah.
It'd be a cool name drop. It doesn't need to be like, oh, this movie is about this.
Right.
You know, like we were talking about 007. Like how 007 gets his equipment from someone. He gets his equipment from Q.
Yeah.
In 007.
Uh-huh.
Mask needs to be like Q for G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And that's it. It doesn't need to be like, oh, we're our own strike force. Like, no. Yo, you be the Q for G.I. Joe. We need to go to the Mask division.
So Mask Joey, and for everyone who doesn't know, Mask is a cartoon that came out in the 80s as well. It was like a team kind of like G.I. Joe, but their vehicles transformed into, you know, why did this just change for no reason? It transforms into a vehicle that you can fight with. If it's like a car, it'll turn into like a plane that has missiles and stuff like that. They had these cool masks that they would wear. So that's why they call them Mask, you know, and then they had the what Mask stood for. Mobile Armored Strike Command, whatever. And then the bad guys were the evil guys, the Masks, and they had, you know, their own weapons and stuff like that, their own vehicles that transformed into assault vehicles. There you go. They're not robots or anything. They just transformed to assault vehicles. So. But yeah, okay. It was by Kenner, so that was the competition of Hasbro back in the day. So they were trying to cash in on, you know, the Transformer stuff. But, you know, in a small bit of irony, Hasbro bought Kenner eventually and now owns Mask. So,
by the way, their enemy was called Venom, which is a vicious evil network of mayhem.
Yes. Well, you get it now. You get the acronym is close to Cobra. You get the acronym, Joey. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so it's kind of like GoBots. You know what I mean?
GoBots.
You know, it was like the generic Transformers. You know, like something else trying to cash in. It was done. I think it was done by Hanna-Barbera. I think this cartoon, right?
A little known fact, GoBots actually came out before Transformers.
Ah, yes. You're right. You're absolutely right. I think Master was Hanna-Barbera too, I think. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, get to the point. I don't know if this is going to... they need to get a hell of a writer, a hell of a team to make this happen, to make this shit happen.
they're strut. Listen, I'm cool with the car transforming into something or like having weapons on it.
Right.
I don't think that's a novel idea. So just to drop, I don't think you need to call it Mask.
Right. Just to drop the premise for you. IDW is a comic book company, and at one time they owned all the rights to all the Hasbro stuff, and they decided, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Let's do our own Hasbroverse thing, and they did a big mishmash of Transformers, G.I. Joe. They did Mask. They did Visionaries. They did what else? They had Micronauts. They had ROM's Space Knight. Bunch of characters that Joey doesn't even know what the hell we're talking about. But
I don't. You lost me. You're losing me.
That's I guess to my point too. The premise was Mask, and that whole storyline there that G.I. Joe and Transformer crossover was Mask, was that the scientists were trying to figure out how to replicate Cybertronian technology. And the only thing they could do was make vehicles kind of transform into weapons, but not into living, breathing, or living, you know, organisms like Transformers. You know what I mean? They couldn't make them robots. The human technology couldn't make them robots. But they were able to make them transform. So that's when they said, okay, to combat the Decepticons, we're making this new group called Mask. And now we have this appropriated Cybertronian technology that we got, you know?
The only issue is that I'm one of the idiots who continued to watch Transformers movies as they kept making them. And, you know, they made their own Transformers already. They made Galvatron, and they made their own Transformers. Like, they had a man-made Transformers already.
Right.
So...
I don't know if they go. Did they take that whole lore of those Transformer movies and throw them away and start all over again? I guess kind of what they did with Bumblebee, right?
I hope they don't. No, Bumblebee was a prequel.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's set up like him being there, but I hope they don't.
I don't know, man. Joey, you're just completely lost, and that goes to my other point too, ladies and gentlemen. All this IP that they're trying to bring back, I don't know if they can get the younger people on it. What do you say, Joey? I mean, is there anything this interesting to you at all?
Not at all.
Yeah. Do you think I
saw? Oh, yeah, I remember watching it. It's not interesting to me.
Yeah, it wasn't like, it's not like, oh, like I got mass stuff, you know, posters hanging on my wall here. You know what I mean? It's one of those forgettable cartoons. It was a cool cartoon for the moment, you know, I guess when you were a kid. But other than that.
Listen, if they bring back Fox, I'm all in. But Mask?
Yeah.
It's too similar to other stuff.
But I think they'll do Micronauts.
I don't remember Micronauts. Now, you got me on that one.
That's more
I'm with Joey on that one. I don't remember Micronauts at all.
That was very comic booky. No cartoon for that one.
However, I mean, what I'm damn excited about, though, is a She-Hulk. We got one.
Yeah, yes, we do have
a She-Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we have official casting for She-Hulk, and it wasn't who we thought it was going to be.
Well, people are up for it, and then they go and audition and do some testing, and it's like, okay. But I like, she's the one, she's from Orange is the New, not Orange is the New Black, but Orphan Black. Correct?
Right.
Orphan Black, yeah.
Orphan Black, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's great in Orphan Black. Mm. I can tell you that. She's great in Orphan Black.
I'm
so
excited, man. I like
that. She can play 13, 14 people. Mm-hmm. I like the, I'm sure she can play She-Hulk.
I always like the She-Hulk character, and I always like the Spider-Woman character. So I'm excited to see those in live action. So hopefully they, you know, the...
Yeah.
I'm excited for those characters.
But again, man, I hope they hit. I hope they hit with it. I think it's, again, I think it's a stretch.
I don't
you know, that's definitely not a casual Marvel fan thing.
Yeah,
no.
That's true.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is why it's a show. Yeah.
Well, I got good news about your Green Lantern stuff. John Stewart will be the Justice League's Green Lantern. After years of having no Green Lantern since Ryan Reynolds wore the ring in 2011 to critical and commercial failure, Warner Brothers is about to have a surplus. Quite honestly, Green Lantern, for all its flaws, was engaging pop entertainment. If Greg Berlanti's original vision for it wasn't dismembered by WB, a repeating story, it probably would have succeeded. But Berlanti has a Green Lantern of his own for HBO Max. He recently scooped that Green Lantern is being planned to join the Justice League in a theatrical sequel. No, it won't be Reynolds, who isn't in the Snyder Cut either. Those rumors are bogus. So who is it? As he has mentioned, Green Lantern hasn't been cast yet. The only GL who has been selected is David Ramsey, whose John Diggle was revealed as John Stewart after years of fan speculation and wishful thinking. Ramsey will appear in GL in the upcoming CW's Superman and Lois TV series, another Berlanti production. So, yeah, that was at the end of Arrow where the ring fell. And John Diggle became
the Green Lantern at the end of?
Yeah. I don't understand why he's gonna change his last name, but it doesn't make no sense. But you know, I digress. What do you think, man? Were you excited about that? I want to finish the rest of the article, but the website like changed on me again.
No. Until you do a Snyder Cut, I don't care anything about what they got to say.
Yeah, it's an HBO Max show. It's an HBO Max show, so I think it might be part of the CW. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know already how you feel about that, but. You know, it's HBO Max, you know, it's new time in TV.
Yeah, I like HBO Max. I haven't dug into, what's the new one? They call it The Mother, show called Mother. Is it called Mother? Mm-hmm. But I like the programming on HBO Max. Okay. So I'm definitely digging Lovecraft Country.
Okay.
CW has got me messed up, man. I'm not getting hyped off any of these Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I've gone back and watched, what's the name of the show? Doom Patrol. And I'm like, you know what? It's actually not bad.
Hmm.
But.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you got to get me. Selling me on Diggle being Green Lantern, it's just not bad.
Yeah. I am also, I don't know. I mean, it was cool. It was a cool little Easter egg. Like, okay, yeah, cool. And that universe is going to be a Green Lantern, you know, and that's kind of be, yes, a little throw to the John Stewart, you know. But
again, is he going to be Green Lantern in, he's not going to be Green Lantern in the movies.
Well, according to insiders, the Green Lantern being discussed for the new Justice League is Stewart, with Hal Jordan remaining on the HBO Max for now. So
theatrical
Yeah.
will be John Stewart and HBO Max is going to be
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Let's see here. Keeping in line with comic book history, Stewart and the JL will be part of a corpse that'll include various aliens as well. WB is looking at the Justice League animated series from the early 2000s as a model in which he'll be presented. In fact, it's the familiarity he created with the general public in the cartoon which made WB realize to utilize him for the DCEU instead of Jordan. Jordan will eventually debut in DCEU beyond HBO Max. In the meantime, it'll be Stewart's light to shine on the silver screen. So, you know, there you go.
That's fair.
Yeah, I like it.
I think that Green Lantern became very, very popular when it's in comics. Hal Jordan is the most popular, probably followed by Kyle Rayner.
Right.
But I think because of that cartoon, John Stewart became one of the bigger, better known Green Lanterns.
Yeah. There's also I mean, I'm looking forward to it because remember that the Hal Jordan character kind of goes bad, you know, like it does the he goes crazy and becomes a villain for a while. So you know,
he eventually becomes Spectre, doesn't he?
Yeah, he becomes Spectre and then becomes I forget the name of his bad guy name. I don't remember it now, but I mean, it's, you know, it's, there's a bunch of stories they could tell. That's what I'm trying to say, you know.
Yeah,
and they could use all the characters. What do you say, Joey franchise? You hype about that?
Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm all on board.
Yeah. Oh, dope, man. I think we talked about everything we want to talk about today, guys. Sam, and thank you so much for hanging out with me on the show, of course, as always. Mr. Tarek Lewis, what's going on in your universe?
Nothing, man. I'm cold shut down, so I don't know what's going on in the world.
I know.
I'm just doing these podcasts.
Yeah.
As you can see, I have my screen set up because I am doing auditions.
Nice. But, you need that green screen, bro. What's up?
Nah, you don't do the green screen for auditions, dog. The green screen is only for, like, you want to put a dragon behind you or some shit.
Get fancy for the audition, bro.
Nah, I don't want that.
Joey, how they can follow you, Tarek?
My name is Tarek on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. Joey Franchise, what's going on in your universe?
Well, you see, my background switched up a little bit. I mean, I'm touching these airwaves over here in Tampa, Wild 94.1. Yes. If you want to listen, if you're somewhere else in the universe, go download that app, Wild 94.1 app. It's free. And you can follow me on the gram and Twitter, at Joey Franchise.
All right. You can follow me and all my nocturnal stuff at DJ Speedy JR. Follow my gaming channel, Speedy Junior Gaming. Also, follow us, Geek Culture Congress, three words, Geek Culture Congress on Facebook, all together on Instagram. And thank you so much for hanging out with us. Another edition of Geek Culture Congress down, and hopefully next week there'll be more great new stuff for us to talk about, new insider information. And, man, we might be able to get Mikey Sutton on the show, Tarek. What do you think about that?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm cool with
that'd
that.
Be dope, man.
Yeah,
he's like the Adam Schefter of breaking comic or movie news.
Yeah, man. So I'm gonna work on that.
We're like Black Sports Online.
Yeah,
and he's Adam Schefter.
Yeah, he sure is. So I'm gonna work on that, man. Thank you so much for being on the show, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, peace.
All right, man. All right, Larry. Have a good one. Bye, bye, everybody.
Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.